We are going to work on a little subject here called rapport. Rapport. You might want to jot in your notes. Rapport is power. Rapport is power. With rapport, you can get things done you can't get done any other way. Remember this morning we talked about anything you want to achieve or do or create or have or learn or master. There's somebody else out there who could help you do it faster. They know people, they know situations, they have resources, but they're not going to want to help you unless you first meet their needs. And you're not going to be able to meet their needs if you don't know what they are, and you're not going to know what they are unless you first get a relationship of rapport. Rapport means a relationship of responsiveness. When people are really responsive to each other, they have rapport. If you're going to have an intimate relationship, you have to first have rapport, at least in most people's cases, right? So rapport is a fundamental skill set of any human being that's going to really be happy, is going to be fulfilled. So we look at it from that perspective. Question is, how do you get rapport with just about anybody in the shortest period of time in the most fulfilling way? Well, the obvious way to start with is really caring. I mean, there's no faking sincerity and really getting associated with that. But there are some skill sets also that will cause people to feel connected to you in a matter of minutes and also cause you to feel connected to other people who maybe normally you wouldn't have felt that way with. Now, if I said to each of you right now, I want you to go outside, go to a local restaurant or bar, meet somebody and develop rapport, how many feel like you could do that pretty quickly? Say aye. Of course you could. How would you do it? You meet somebody and you probably start a conversation where you'd ask them a few what? Questions. Questions like what? What's your name? Where are you from? What do you do? Do you come here often? Sarah, that's not a good question. And what's your sign is right next to that one at the same level of quality, okay? So now, can you ask a series of questions and still have the conversation kind of just die? Is that possible, yes or no? Oh, yes. So one of the things that we've got to look at then is when you're communicating, questions don't create rapport. Questions are a tool you use to dig for that thing you believe will create rapport, and that is you're trying to find something in what? That's right, something in common. So you might want to make a note, rapport is created by a feeling of commonality. Rapport is created by a feeling of commonality. When people feel like they have something in common, that's when rapport really is ignited. So conversation is going back and forth, and it's really not going anywhere. And then all of a sudden, you say, well, I got to go. I got to, you know, catch my helicopter and do this. Helicopter? You fly helicopters? I fly helicopters. Oh, my God. Have you flown one of these? Have you done this? Energy. Or, yeah, I got to go. I got to go see Mary Sue. Mary Sue? You know Mary Sue? Hey, I know Mary Sue. Hey, how do you know Mary Sue? Right? Rapport. Right? So what happens is there's a spark when people find something in common. In fact, the challenge is that most people try to get rapport by finding something in common through words. And the problem with words is they don't always work. So what happens is words don't necessarily do it. I mean, what if you walk into a restaurant or bar and you meet somebody and you go, hi, what's your name? Where are you from? Why are you here? What are you here to do? And the person says, my name's Habib. I'm a terrorist. I'm here to kill people. We're going to say, amazing. Me too. Right? Now, see, words don't always work. But there is something that always, always, always works. And that little thing is something called matching and mirroring. Matching and mirroring. So the bottom line is, here's what occurs. Matching and mirroring is this concept that comes from a man named Dr. Milton Erickson. How many have heard of Dr. Erickson? I'm curious. Erickson's a genius. He's a medical doctor and a hypnotherapist, probably one of the greatest therapists in the world. People would go see other people to create change, get no change for 5, 6, 7 years. They'd see him for one session and it was handled. And the reason he was so good is when you came in to see him, he'd be sitting here, and if you came to see him, he got rapport with this part of your brain we call your subconscious or other than conscious mind. Now, what is the subconscious or other than conscious mind? It's the part of your brain that makes your heart beat 100,000 times a day without thinking about it. It's the part that basically guides everything. If you've ever tried to make a change and it didn't last, it's because you tried to make the change consciously, but you didn't deal with your unconscious needs. So you got to get those things aligned. What Erickson was brilliant at was how to get rapport in seconds with your unconscious so you felt connected to him. And so if you came in to see him and you said, Dr. Erickson, I've tried everything. I mean, this is a waste of my time. It's a waste of your time. I need to go. He'd look at you and go, come on. You haven't tried everything. It's not a waste of your time. And you're already here. So let's just do it. And people go, I like him. Something about this guy I like. I don't know what it is. You know, he's not over the top. He seems sincere. He's not a hypester. Something about him I really like. Because he was just like who? They are. I mean, think about this. People like people who are like whom? Like themselves or like how they want to be. That's who people like. If you came in to see him and you said, Dr. Erickson, I've tried everything. I've done this and that and this and that. I'm telling you, it's a waste of our time. It's a waste of my time. He'd say, sit down, and I want to tell you something. You may have done this and this and this and that, but you've never done this. It's not a waste of your time. You sit down, we're going to handle this. Guy goes, hey, I like this guy. He's got some spunk, man. He's got some passion. I think you get something done. Because we like people who are like us or like how we want to be. I mean, think about it. Some people say opposites attract. Bull. Opposites, you may be opposites in some areas, but you have to have similarities to be attracted. Things that you want. You might say, well, I know this couple. He's filthy and she's clean, and that's what makes the relationship work. Well, maybe what makes it work is they share the same belief about a man and woman's role in a relationship. That's the same. That's mirrored. Maybe they have the same religious beliefs. Maybe they have some similar background. And what's different are the things you're noticing. See, when we say we're having differences with someone, doesn't mean we're in or out of rapport when you say you're having differences. Which one? Out of rapport, right? Try this. Think of someone you really, really like a lot. Someone you really, really like a lot. A lot. Raise your hand if this person is either like you or there are parts of them that you'd like to be like. Let me see your hand. Say I. Okay, now try this. Think of someone you don't like. Now, I know you're a spiritual being and you love all humans and you've never had a negative thought towards any other human, but if you had a moment in which you forgot all that and you had somebody you couldn't stand, think of that person. Raise your hand if this person is either not like you or not like how you want to be. Raise your hand and say, aye, if that's true. Case closed. So that's what people want. So instead of trying to get this sense of being like someone by words, which rarely work, what Erickson did was he mirrored aspects of the voice and of the body. So what are some, let's just you say you're on the phone with somebody or in person, but all you're gonna do is mirror parts of the voice so they feel connection. Because by the way, do we judge people in a matter of seconds, yes or no? Yes. Not you, of course, but everyone else does, okay? So now, for example, tell me what could you mirror in a person's voice so they would unconsciously feel connected to you without knowing what? Come on. Okay, tonality. Have you ever dealt with somebody where it didn't matter what they said, you couldn't listen to them because their dentist drill tonality drove you up a wall? How many of you ever had this experience? Say aye. So when you mirror someone's tone of voice, there's an immediate connection that you feel. Somebody else, what else could you mirror? Speed. What kind of person talks at this particular pace like I'm talking right now? What part of the country tends to talk at this particular pace when they say things? Come on. What part of the country? Where? Come on. Where? That's right, New York City. Also, Federal Express commercial guys tend to talk at this particular pace, right? How do people who talk more like this feel about those fast-talking city slickers? Do they trust them? No. They don't even know how to say the word dog. And by the way, how do fast-talking people feel when they meet slow-talking person? Mary, what do you think? Mary, what do you think? Mary, what do you think, Mary? Mary goes, well, what? How many of you have ever seen this mismatch before between two people? Okay. What else can you mirror besides tempo and tone? Okay, volume. Some people like to talk loud. Loud-talking people love loud-talking people because they know you're a real man, you're a real one too. But how to... quiet talking people feel about those loud talking people. They're obnoxious, that's how. And of course, intelligent people talk like you and I do, don't they? Do we judge people in a matter of seconds by their tone, by their tempo, by their volume? Do we make generalizations about who they are, yes or no? You bet we do. What else could you mirror? Vocabulary, accent, if you're good at mirroring, great, but if you don't, it's an insult and you lose rapport. But if you can accurately do it, it's okay. But what somebody just said is words. People have certain key words they use a lot. If you mirror back those words, you're going to get total rapport because they're going to feel really heard by you. If you're in real estate and you say, someone comes to you and says, I'm looking for a magnificent home. You don't want to say, oh, I got a fantastic place to show you. Because maybe for you, magnificent and fantastic are the same thing. Like you think dog and think German Shepherd, but they're thinking Mastiff. So you're better to use their word, dog or magnificent. And what will happen is they will feel really heard and they'll be connected to you. If you use their same language, they'll know you're intelligent too, right? What about the body? What could you mirror in the physical body if you're in that person's presence that would create rapport? Okay, posture. If the person's more relaxed, be more relaxed. They're more upright, you can be more upright, and there will be rapport. Now, I want to point something out though. So you can mirror someone's posture, let's say leg position, you'll get more rapport by this position in terms of the person feeling relaxed and connected to you than by all the words you could ever say to them. How many follow that? Say aye. What else could you mirror in the body besides posture? What else? Come on. Facial expression, and most of you do this, don't you? If someone's all animated telling a story, do you sit back like this and look at them while they tell the story? No, you look back and make the same stupid look back. All right, what else? Okay, gestures. Watch me for a second. If you're communicating with somebody, and as they communicate, like when they're really making an important point, let's say they make a funny little gesture, like they go, well, I think we ought to do it this way, and they make this funny little gesture when they're making the most important point. But when you go to say something, say, you know what? I totally hear you on that. That's a good point. I'm curious though, what if we did it this way? What do you think? And you make the same gesture and you watch them, it's like, a friend. And they get excited, you think I'm kidding. If someone's telling a story and they go, well, we did this and this and this, and you go, really this and this? They go, oh yeah, and they get better at telling their story. They don't know why, but they feel connected to you. So you got gestures and posture, facial expressions, leg positions, what else could you mirror? Eye contact. Now here's an interesting thing. Most people who are in business have been taught that if you are going to let someone know that you're being honest and sincere, that what you should do is make direct eye contact and not break eye contact for at least 45 straight minutes without breaking eye contact. Now, there's a slight problem with this. People like whom? Themselves. What kind of person stares in your eyes for 45 minutes without blinking and doesn't move their eyes at all? Aliens, that's who. Most humans tend to look away. So what you gotta do is look, when they look away, look away. Give them the space to look away. Now, if you meet somebody who locks eye contact with you and doesn't break eye contact for 45 straight minutes, you stare right back. They'll know you're an alien too. It'll build rapport. Okay? What else could you mirror? Come on. Someone said touch, absolutely. See, you can get more rapport with some people by touch than by anything you could ever say to them. But you don't want to guess. You don't go, hey, he looks like a toucher. Hey, Jason, love your hair, buddy. You do that, you could get killed. You touch in totally non-sexual ways. You just got to notice. If Louis comes by and goes, hey, Tony, thanks a lot, and he hits me on the shoulder like this. If I come back to you and I say, to him and I say, hey, thank you, Louis, and I hit him like this, I'll get more rapport by that touch than anything I can say because I'm touching the same way. If you go to shake somebody's hands and you notice some people, when they shake your hands, they squeeze and see if they can, you know, pop a few blood vessels. Other people have a fish handshake, like, hi, right? Right? However they shake your hand, you shake it back the same way, you'll have rapport. If they squeeze hard, you squeeze hard. You're both real men, right? It's more of a fish, you're both fish, right? And what happens is there's a connection that comes from the same kind of touch that you can't get through words, just can't get through words. What else could you mirror? Proximity, that's how close you get to a person. Everybody has a different amount of location or a different amount of closeness that they can comfortably deal with. Now the challenge is for a lot of people, what a lot of people do is when they're communicating, everyone has different levels of proximity that they think they need, right? So some people, they don't feel really comfortable unless they get about this close. They go, hi, are you enjoying the seminar? Right? And they usually have bad breath. And when that happens, what do you want to do besides punch them? The minimum you want to do is pull back. But if you pull back, you just broke rapport. So what do? You got to hang in there. But everyone's different. So as you're walking by, you have to use your sensory what? Cutie, see how close can you get. So if I start walking up towards this gentleman here, he's fine. Here, I'm already on the edge. Now, how do I know that? Because he's chewing his gum and all of a sudden he paused with the gum, right? He wasn't pausing. I was here. I come here. Now, if I come here, now his eyes freeze. His whole face is now frozen. This means you're too close. Now maybe standing it would be different for him, but you gotta pay attention. Because what happens is you lose rapport by being too far away also. There's no sense of connection, but you also lose it when you get too close. So how do you know how close to get? You use your brain. You notice, walk here, she's comfortable here. I'm on the edge right here. No, don't want to go there. Right about here, it's perfect. Okay? So you just get that feel, and you'll notice it. Well, what are you saying, Tony? Are you saying they cross their legs, I cross my legs? They lean back, I lean back. They lean forward, I lean forward. They uncross, I uncross. They pick their nose, I pick my nose. Exactly. Now, you don't have to mirror everything a person does to be in rapport. You can just do leg position and a gesture, and you'll be in total rapport. Or you can just do voice, right? Vocal qualities, like their tonality is an example, and tempo and get rapport. Or you can do, you know, eye contact and a gesture, same as them, and you'll get rapport. So you don't have to do all these things at one time. Now, if you think people are going to notice when you're mirroring them, number one, they won't. Number two, and the reason they don't, by the way, is because it's something you already do. But here's the problem. Most of you wait till you get enough words in common, and then finally you put your voice and body in common. But words don't always work. If you go and put your body in common, if you mirror that, no one you meet will you not have rapport with. I mean, no one, as long as you really mirror them. No one.